Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, praise team. You may be seated. First of all, I want to welcome back all of our family members that traveled to Nigeria. God bless every one of you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them safely back. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I think we can do better than that. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So we are so thankful that the Lord, Pastor Emmanuel went, he came back. Sister Grace, she went, she came back. The Alinos, they went, they came back. Praise the Lord. I believe we're still expecting the Okoron course. I'm not sure if they're back, but I think they will be here shortly. So we thank God for all of that goodness. Praise the Lord. We also thank God for the testimony that Sister Grace gave concerning her dad. And thank God that, you know, that trip did not end in sorrow. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I want to welcome everybody to this first Sunday service of this new year. It's going to be a great year. Amen. Yeah. So welcome everybody to 2024. And, you know, I am going to share with us an admonition, a message today. That will take off from where we left off at the New Year's Eve. So let's pray for just a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the new year. Praise the Lord. We thank you because you have brought us thus far, and you are not going to leave us alone now. You helped us to cross over from last year to this year. And by the grace of God, you will also see us through this year in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you for all of your goodness to your people. Praise the Lord. All the good things that you have in store for us. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, I thank you as always that the entrance of your word brings light, and it gives understanding to the simple. And I pray that that light will shine into our hearts this morning, give us revelation, knowledge of what the Spirit of God is saying to the church at this time. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I am going to, during the New Year's Eve, I gave an exhortation called Quantum Leap 2024. And I said that a vital part of that message will be continued on Sunday, which is today. So, you know, I want to continue on that path today to talk about what that really means. And I'm titling this Prophetic Update 2024, the Quantum Leap Year. Amen. And as I mentioned last night that we were here, when the Lord gave me the word, I had to look up 2024 because I thought, Then I looked it up and I realized it was actually a leap year. And I said, wow, isn't that wonderful that the Lord will say Quantum Leap 2024? When I looked it up, it was indeed a leap year. So this year is indeed a leap year. By itself, that's even prophetic. Amen. It's prophetic that you are going to experience that this year. Amen. Now, you know, the Lord also said that some will run, some may fly, some may leap. Others may actually experience a quantum leap, Well, we'll see what the Lord has for everybody. Amen. Last year, the Lord told us about emerging. And I believe that some of us actually began to emerge. You know, but I looked at it towards the end of the year as I was seeking the Lord. I'm like, well, you know, your people ought to be much further along than where we are. The Lord showed me a few things that I want to mention today. Now, you know, when the Lord gives a word like that, like he gave a word like that last year, you know, and God began to do that in our lives, we begin to cause an emerging. You know, after a while, some people actually began to think that we are going to get it done by our own smartness, you know, and by all that we can do and everything like that, you know. And that's a great thing, you know. If the Lord gives you the smarts and the Lord blesses you to do that, that's a great thing. But what the Lord is talking about this year is not because of that. It's not because you are smart. It's not because you know how to do it. Even as it is written in the book of Romans chapter 9, you know, verses 15 and 16 will tell you, you know, that look, it's not of him that willeth, you know, and it's not of him that runneth. Jump to verse 16. But it is of the Lord, you know, that showeth mercy. You know, so now, we must be willing, because thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We must be willing. And we must run. And we must do everything we can. But it's not, the quantum leap is not because you knew how to do it. You know, if the Lord tells you that you are going to scale over a 10-story building, which was the analogy I gave, you know, I mean, maybe you can't even scale over a 5-foot-high obstacle. So how in the world are you going to jump over a 10-story, not 10-foot, 10-story building? I mean, maybe something about 10 times this high. How in the world are you going to do it? You can practice all you want. You're not going to be able to do it. But it is going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I want to read a story to us in the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 16 to 21. John, chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. And this is my lead-off story today for this lesson about the quantum leap. However, for the sake of those who may have missed it, I might just refer briefly to some of the quantum leap stories that I mentioned on New Year's Eve. Now, in the book of John, chapter 6, starting at verse 16, we read, "And when evening was come, Jesus went down towards the sea to meet his disciples." It's basically what that is saying. "And enter into a ship," you know. And the Lord said, read that again. "And when evening was come, his disciples," that's why he said, read that again. I didn't read it well. "His disciples went down into the sea." Okay, that was his disciples. "And they entered into a ship. And they went over the sea toward Capernaum." You know, so it was the disciples that entered the ship and were going towards Capernaum. "And now when it was dark, Jesus started to come to them. And the sea arose, you know, by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship. And they were afraid." Now, so the disciples left by ship and Jesus was trying to catch up. And Jesus didn't have any ship, but he's just going to walk on water and catch up, you know. These things don't mean anything to the Lord. Ship already left, fine. I just catch up walking on the water. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and then they were afraid. And then he said, look, It is I. Be not afraid. Now, let's see what the... Then they willingly... See? Now, thy people must be willing. Hallelujah. In the day of thy power. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Now, their situation at that time was a bit precarious. This particular writer of this story did not get into all of it. But there was a wind that was tossing them and so forth like that. The situation was a bit precarious. But when they entered, when they received Christ, walking on the water, I want you to visualize it. I was walking on the water, coming to them. When they received Christ into the ship, something happened. Now, this is my lead-off quantum leap story today. Because as soon as Jesus entered into the ship was immediately on the other side of the boat, of the other sea. Hallelujah. The ship was immediately at the land where they went. Now, the Lord just catapulted them in a moment of time by entering into the ship from where they were to where they were going. And it happened in a moment of time. Now, some of you may not know that this was indeed a quantum leap. Or you can call it supernatural transportation. God, in one moment, they were here, and the next moment, they were on the other side of the ship because Jesus entered into the ship. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. On the other side of the sea. Now, so this is the lesson I want to give today and just analyze it. First, we must be willing to receive the master into the matter at hand. Amen. Yes. Don't try to do it by yourself. You know, they were trying to navigate through that storm, but they couldn't do it. Jesus already knew, so he went towards them. Now, you know, they could let Jesus continue alongside. And he could even have overtaken them if he wanted. But he just caught up to them, and they had to invite him in. Praise the Lord. Once he said, it is I, be not afraid. So, oh, Master, come on in. You know, and ladies and gentlemen, for your matters in 2024, if you will let the Lord in, you too might experience a quantum leap. Hallelujah. As soon as they left him in, the next thing they knew, they found themselves on the other side of the sea. My, that's a quantum leap. Now, all of them experienced that at the same time. Well, that may not be the story that we will all experience at the same time, but it does go to illustrate to you that, you know, Jesus is not bound by time and space. Amen. He's not bound by these things. You know, he can do these things. And I gave some stories last time about some people that actually experienced these things, you know, experienced a quantum leap. Now, a quantum leap in the context of this lesson is defined as a sudden increase or advancement of something, you know, a sudden, you know, a change, a shift, you know, that is beyond, you know, the natural sequence of things. Now, in the natural sequence of things, it might have taken them several hours for the ship to get to the other side, but in a moment, almost like in a twinkling, because it says immediately, you know, they were on the other side. And Jesus performed that miracle. It was a silent miracle. It's in the Bible. Many people don't know it's there, but it is there nonetheless. Now, the same way that many will experience a quantum leap this year, maybe silent at first, but then the Lord will get the glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are some stories that I told. I'm not going to get into all of it. You can go back and listen to the message from New Year's Eve. But I will point out something to you. Some of those stories. My favorite of the stories, of course, was Joseph. How he went from prison in one day to prime minister of the land. Now that is a quantum leap. There was a story of Esther, who was one, you know, she was a, she had lost her dad, you know, maybe orphan, I don't know, but only her uncle was taking care of her. And on top of that, she was a slave girl. But she went from all of that to the throne by the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then I love the other one that I told about, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, who was son of Saul, and so forth. And one day, the Lord put it in David's heart to say, you can read that story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Who is there that is left among the sons of Saul that I can do him good for, you know, Jonathan's sake? So, this Mephibosheth was in that family. And he was sought out, and they brought him to David. In his own mind, in fact, here's what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 9. He thought of himself as nothing. In fact, he called himself a dead dog when he came before David, because he was scared. He actually thought that David was going to do him some harm because of, you know, all of the things that happened between Saul and David. But that was not David's intention. David wanted to do him some good. And he was lame on his feet. In fact, he managed to escape from his life one time, you know, when all the sons of Saul were being killed. And so here's what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 9. You know, so when they brought this man, he said that I may show kindness unto him. And Ziba said unto him, Jonathan hath yet one son, but is lame on his feet. So they brought him, and the man came before David. And he was called Mephibosheth. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, was the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face, and he did reverence, and said, and David said unto him, he said, Mephibosheth, and he said, behold thy servant. And David said, fear not, you know, but I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore unto thee the land of Saul thy father, and so on and so forth. And he bowed himself down and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon a dead dog such as I am? So in fact, he thought of himself as a dead dog. He thought of himself as a nobody. I mean, he was indeed a nobody. You know, he was at that time. But he should have been a somebody because, you know, he was at one time, you know, a prince or a prince in the making. But, you know, his father or his grandfather lost the kingdom, as you know. And now, but David is going to show him kindness. In the book of Psalm 113, verses 7 to 9, the Bible says that the Lord raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Hallelujah. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. And he said, praise ye the Lord. That's exactly what the Lord did to this Mephibosheth. He took him out of nowhere. The man was afraid for his life because he knew what Saul did to David. How Saul persecuted David from pillar to post, you know, and so forth. So he thought, well, you know, the evil is finally come upon me. But David said, your father Jonathan He did a lot of good for me in my days, and I'm going to show you kindness. Hallelujah. And he said to Ziba, who was the servant of Saul, now you see to it that this Mephibosheth fellow gets all of the land of Saul. That's right. Saul had a lot of land when he was king. Restore to him everything that from Saul all the way down. Give it all to him. And then you, Ziba, and all your servants, co-servants, you now report to Mephibosheth from now on. Hallelujah. In one day, he became a master over many servants. And as if that was not enough, David said, and from now on, he will sit at my table. And he will eat bread continually at my table as one of the king's sons. Praise the Lord. God set him up among princes. Just like that psalm said. Set him up among princes. And for the rest of his life, this man ate like a prince. You know, somebody that thought that his life was finished. His life was nowhere. He even thought of himself as a dead dog. But when the favor of God reached out to him, he received a quantum leap. Hallelujah. And he got servants. He got land. He got everything in one day. Yeah, he got so much. And many stories like that. But I'm going to leave that there. I want to talk about a few other things today. And this is a sequel to that quantum leap message. Now, there are four things. Listen to me real close. There are four things that the Lord gave me that will happen to you and to me, to us, for 2024 as part of this quantum leap. Amen. Amen. There are four words that he gave me. And after I checked it out, I realized that each of those words actually start with the letter R. I don't know why, but each of them, maybe I do know why, but let's see. He gave me one, refreshing. Two, revival. Three, restoration. And four, recovery. Hallelujah. And I said, wow. You know, and so, you know, I was seeking the Lord, and I usually try to do that towards the end of the year, see what the Lord is saying or going to say, and so forth. You know, because, you know, Jesus said in John chapter 17, Father, glorify thyself because the hour has come. And he said, Lord, he talked to the Father. He said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. I've often wondered what that thing is. When the Lord showed it to me, I said, okay, I got it. You know, so, you know, sometimes I put myself through prayer, through seeking the Lord, and so forth. Say, for the sake of the people, Jesus said, I sanctify myself. Well, so, Lord, you know, what will you have me do? Let me tell you something, too. Nobody knows this thing except me. But I tell you, this time around, you know, there are times when I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me something for the new year. This heat up here is really bothering me. I need somebody to come and shut this thing off, please. It's bothering me. It's too much heat over here. Someone come and shut this thing off. There are times that I'll be seeking the Lord. And even before I will seek the Lord very much, boom, give me the word. And then I'd spend time. You can actually turn the AC on. It's much heat. There are times then I'd have to develop the word. Sometimes they just give a word, then I'd have to develop it. You know, sometimes way early in the process of seeking the Lord. You know, sometimes even before I set apart the time. You know, and then I'll just develop it through that time. This time around, I was seeking the Lord for many days, for a whole week even. And zero, zip. The Lord said nothing. I mean, day one, day two, day five even, day six even, then almost at the end, then he said, Quantum Leap 2024. Yeah. Woo-hoo! And it was worth the wait. Because I'm thinking, well, you know, as a preacher and everything, I don't like to talk about myself, but, you know, as a preacher and everything, you got to be able to preach in season and out of season. That means, you know, in season is better. The Lord gave you point blank word. That's in season, you know, and you are prepared. But even out of season, well, sometimes the Lord doesn't give you the word, but you still got to preach, you know. Most of the time, mine is in season. And this one, it was almost going to be out of season because I'm waiting. Lord, I know you got a word, you know. And I'm like, Lord, I got to hear from you. If I don't hear from you, what will we do? You know, I'm singing some songs to myself like that, you know, and all that. And then very close to the end, he said, Quantum Leap 2024. And then I said, Quantum Leap? I know I've heard something like that before. So I said, Leap 24. I said, well, let me check it out. Maybe 2024 is a leap year. Then I check it out. I said, wow, it is indeed a leap year. And then the Lord began to develop the word. And then boom, 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 boom after that. You know, and then the words began to come. He said, refreshing. He said, revival. He said, restoration. And he said, recovery. And I'm like, woo-hoo. And I say, my goodness, now that's a load of, a lot of stuff. If the Lord would do all of that. And he said, I will too. But you must believe. Hallelujah. And the Lord said the key word, and I've been talking about this on Clubhouse for weeks now. The key word that's going to drive this process through 2024 is going to be believe. You must believe. Because Jesus said it this way. In Mark 9 and 23, he said, you know, you can read the story yourself. The man who, you know, had the son who was a dumb spirit and so forth. You know, I'm foaming at the mouth, the devil trying to kill him and all these things. And, you know, he said, look, I brought him to these folks. I've been hanging out with you. Couldn't do anything. So I'm bringing him to you now. If you can do anything, Lord, help me. You know, the man was desperate. But he's almost about to lose hope because he already tried the disciples. They couldn't do it. So he's saying, well, you know, if you can, help me. And Jesus turned around and put it on him. You know, and Jesus said, look, it's not about whether I can do it, but can you believe? Because if you can believe, hallelujah. So that's going to be the key word, ladies and gentlemen, that going to drive this force throughout this year is, can you believe? Because if you can only believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Not exactly. He didn't say here that all things are possible to God. He didn't say that. And we already know that, right? We know that all things are possible to God. We know that. But that's not what Jesus said. Here, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. So if you believe, you can almost approximate how God will function. That's what this verse means. And Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 14 and verse 12. He said, look, he that believes in me, or on me, the works that I do, the same shall he do also. I mean, if you can believe it, you will begin to function like me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you must believe. Now, let me talk about refreshing, revival. I'm going to finish the rest of this next week. But refreshing, revival, restoration, and recovery. And he gave me those words, so I started to look those things up in the scriptures. So let me put to you this way. I'll summarize or give you the 30,000-foot view of these things, these four things this year. There is coming a time of refreshing for God's people. Amen. God has called for it. You know, when God calls for it, he calls for it. It's just that simple. And because he calls for it, he puts it in the hearts of some people to begin to desire and to pray towards it. But God already said it was time. So God said it's time. A time of refreshing. There's also a time of revival. You know, many of us have been praying, even speaking about it, and so forth. But the Lord will show it to us this year in Jesus' name. That there's coming a time of restoration. You know, restoration. And then a time of recovery. I'm going to go through and just give a few scriptures. I will develop these concepts much more next time. A time of refreshing is coming. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. I will leave that one. I'm not going to read it. But I want to read Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. And I group these four words in pairs. I grouped refreshing and revival together. And then I gave, because that's how the Lord gave it to me. Refreshing and revival. And restoration and recovery. So, time of refreshing is coming. Hallelujah. A time for God to visit those who humble their hearts is coming. A time to revive the heart of the contrite ones is what Isaiah 57 verse 15 talks about. And then there is Hosea chapter 6 verses 1 to 3. It talks about a time to return to the Lord because he will remember us. You can read that in Hosea chapter 6 verses 1 to 3. It is a time that we must return unto the Lord, and the Lord will remember us. Amen. Then there is Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. You know, it's a time that the Lord told us that something is coming. You know, when we sow in righteousness, we're going to reap in mercy. When we break up our fallow ground, we're going to, the Lord says, it's time for us to seek the Lord, because the Lord called for the time. And then he began to put in the heart of people to seek him. That's how it works. And then he's going to rain righteousness upon us. Amen. Then there is Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. He said, the Lord, in that time that we begin to call upon him, he's going to make bright clouds. Hallelujah. And give showers of rain. Everyone grass in the field. And we call it the latter rain. It's coming. And you'll see it this year. And then, of course, you know, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Lord is bringing an awakening. Or I should say, a reawakening. You know, he said, look, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Amen. Amen. The light has come, according to Isaiah chapter 60. The light has come, and we must arise and shine, because our light has now come. Praise God. Now, for restoration and recovery, I'm just going to go through this quickly. He gave us in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 23 to 27, talks about the Lord will restore. He said it multiple times. Then you can read the story in 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verses 1 to 8, how the Lord told David that he will recover all after that the Amalekites has smitten their place in Ziklag, and they lost everything. And the people were weeping, wailing, even thinking of stoning David. But the Lord told him, you will surely recover all. And he recovered all. Hallelujah. There's also 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. It's a story of the Shunammite woman whom the Lord used Elisha to raise back her dead son to life. And Elisha had spoken to her and said, look, there's coming a 7-year farming period. So you take your family, go wherever you can go, but get away from this place. This place is going to be very sore for the next 7 years. And she went away. And then after the 7 years, she remembered the word of the man of God and said, well, you know, it's time for me to go back. She lost everything because, you know, you abandon your land, the king, grab everything, and so on. She lost everything. So she came back, and I asked the people, I said, look, what are the chances, except by divine appointment, that the Lord would so time the very moment that she would arrive at the king's palace to cry for her land? It was at that very moment. The man, Elisha's servant, could have told the king the story last month, a year ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, even 3 months ago. It wouldn't have made the impact. But at the very moment, and this is how God orchestrates things, you know, in order for this woman to recover all, God had to trouble this king. Said, look, I've heard that Elisha did some great things. Someone tell me some of the things. You know, this man supposed to say, I tell you what, I hung around with him for a long time. And I know the things he did. In fact, he raised a woman's dead son to life. King said, he did what? I'm telling you, he raised a woman's dead son to life. And as he was saying the story, now he's got the king's attention. Because he's saying, wow, you know, I must have been something. And at that very moment that he was saying that to the king, this woman arrived right at the palace. Now, what are the chances of that? Except by divine appointment. God constituted it in destiny, timed it perfectly to appear at that very moment. And he brought that woman at that very moment that the king was just hearing about it, so that it will make the greatest impact upon him. If he had heard the story 5 years before that, it would have made nothing even when the woman came. But when she now came to cry to the king for her land, the Elisha said, my lord, the king, this is the woman. This is the woman. This is the woman I was just telling you about. And this is her son. And the king was just blown away. And then he made a decree. Hallelujah. I make a decree that for this woman, she must recover all. Everything that she had lost all those 7 years, give everything back to her with interest. All the fruits of the land, because the king acquired everything. When you leave your land, king acquires everything, belongs to the king now. The king said, calculate everything. Make sure you diminish nothing. Give everything to her, not only her land, but all the fruit. Now, the woman herself could not have produced the kind of produce that that land produced, because she didn't have the means to farm the land like the king would have. So they went away for 7 years. The king took over the land, made the thing flourish, produce a lot of stuff, all for her to recover it. Amen. Because that's how the Lord does things. Now, this woman, she did a lot of things before that. Praise God. She took care of the man of God. She was kind to him and everything. And God was paying her back. Praise the Lord. And when she lost everything, and she was just coming to beg, the Lord said, you're not begging today. You will recover all. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, she lived the rest of her life in abundance because of all the produce and everything that the thing was generating. And all the system they put in place to be farming the land and everything now became hers. She got it all. Praise the Lord. Beautiful story. Now, that's part of recovery. Then, after I did some more research, I asked the Lord, I said, is it okay if I add a couple of words? But he said, add not to his words now, you know, lest he reprove thee. And I said, yeah, it's okay. So I added, listen, here's what I added. And because it dovetails back to last year's. So I said, okay, well, how about we add increase and advancement? Amen. And Lord said, yeah, that's good. And he showed me that that's already part of those things anyway. So I said, well, okay. So here is the scripture I'm going to give you for the increase and the advancement. Three or four scriptures. The first one is, this goes in line with, it's not going to be by your might. It's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. This so-called quantum leap that God is going to have some of us experience. And I say some of us rather than some of you. Amen. Because I'm putting myself in the mix. Hallelujah. I want to experience a quantum leap this year. In many areas. You know, most of the time, you know, I'm just believing for other people. Not this year. I'm believing for myself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because, you know, this is what we waited for. Hallelujah. And I've been waiting, you know, so. But it's not going to be by power. It's not going to be by might. It's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, in the book of Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 4, there is coming advancement. Isaiah 54. There's coming advancement. There's coming increase. There's coming enlargement. There's coming, you know, just blessing. He said, look, sing, O barren, and thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than that of the married wife, said the Lord. And enlarge the place of your tent. Think big. Hallelujah. Think big. And let them strike forth the curtains of your habitations. Well, spare not. You know, don't even hold back. Believe the Lord. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. There's a lot to that too. But let me leave that there. Why? For thou shalt surely break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Amen. And the Lord began to say so many things. Make the desolate cities to be inhabited. All the great things that the Lord will do for us. You know, as you break forth this year. And lastly, you know, you talk about a quantum leap. Here is one I want to wrap it up for you for today. I'll talk more about this next time by God's grace. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22. The Lord says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. I, the Lord, he said, will hasten it. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord doesn't even need to hasten anything. Because he gives the word, and great will be the company that will publish it already. But when the Lord now tells you he's going to hasten something, that's a quantum leap. Hallelujah. Right there. Because the Lord gives the word, and it will already be done. You know, once the Lord gives the unction, it's already happening. You know, it's already happening. But when he now says the Lord will hasten it, now, not according to your own calendar, but he's going to hasten it in his own time. And it could be the Lord might, I don't know. You know, there was a story Jesus told in Matthew 20. You know, just told the story. The kingdom of God is like this stuff. You know, some people, they started out early. They were strong. They had power. They had energy. They did all kinds of things. They bore the heat of the day for 11 hours, maybe. And he told them, negotiated with them one penny. They said, cool. It was a whole day's wages. And down through the line, he found other people, went out 3 hours later, another 3 hours later. And yet, at the 11th hour, when there was only 1 hour left in the day, so now he comes and finds these people. Why stand you idle here all day long? Well, they said, well, because nobody has hired us. He said, okay, fine. You go in my vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give to you. Hallelujah. You know, and at the end of the day, he made those people that did 1 hour equal to those that did 11 hours. You know, because he is the God of the 11th hour. Hallelujah. He can show up in 1 minute. You may be toiling all night long, catch nothing. And he might show up and say, do it again. He'll give you strategy. Hallelujah. This is the year of strategy also. He will give you strategy. So do it again. But this time, put your nets over on this side. Hallelujah. He said, well, but Lord, you know, in his mind, he started to say, but, and then he said, well, nevertheless. Then he remembered, that's the master. Huh. And as soon as Jesus said the word, I guarantee you, the fish that were in the lake or sea, they heard the word that Jesus said. You know, Peter didn't even need to do anything. Jesus spoke the word and all those fish were rushing to that side. Hallelujah. And in 1 minute, all the disappointment, they had packed in their nets. They were washing out their nets. They packed the ship in. They said, it's over. You know, I mean, the fish are just not biting today. You know, and they tried everything. They were skilled fishermen too. They knew what they were doing. But Lord was showing us a lesson. Sometimes you can do all you can and it still amounts to nothing. But then all of a sudden the master shows up. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he can change that story in 1 minute. A quantum leap. And then, my goodness, they had to beckon to others. Come and taste and see what the Lord is doing. Amen. Because they couldn't contain it. Their nets were even breaking. You know, they brought so much sheep to their fish. The fish was sinking. Nets were breaking. They had to call other ships. All the other ships themselves, they had packed it up as well. Come and see what the Lord is doing. You know, the Bible says that he will fill your cup to overflowing. And out of your overflowing, others will be blessed. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a year of years. Amen. Now, last year was a good year. I don't know about you, but for me and some reports that I heard, it was a good year for many. In fact, many people began to emerge. But they didn't go quite as far as they should. Which is why I was wondering, you know. And the Lord said, well, having begun in the spirit, you cannot be made perfect in the flesh. And many people started out in the spirit because of the word of promise. But then, after a while, they tried to do everything by themselves. And I said, fine. You want to do it by yourself? Fine. You know. But you're going to leave a doing of it by yourself. And you're going to come right back to where you started. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it's a good thing that you should labor and work hard and do all of that. The Lord will bless you if you work hard. For a man to do good and eat the fruit of all his labor, it's a gift of God. But this one, hallelujah, this is not going to be because of your paycheck. Hallelujah. Now, paycheck is a blessing. There are a lot of people that wish they had a paycheck. So that you have a paycheck, that's a blessing. But that's called in-season blessing. What's coming for you is out of season. Amen. It's not your paycheck. It's coming from... I didn't want to say nowhere. I almost said nowhere. But I know it's not from nowhere. It's coming from the Lord. Bible says, the abundance of the seas shall be converted unto thee. In dromedaries shall they come over. Reba shatara labosu. Lift up your hands and let's pray. Let's believe God together. Now I'm going to pray over you here in the name of Jesus. Now, if you can receive it and believe it, well, if you can believe it, you will receive it. But first, you must believe it in order to receive it. Faith sees as done what is not yet done. But believing is what's going to get you there. Faith, we see the promise afar off. But believing is what's going to get you there. And you must believe every day of this year. Now let's pray together. Father, look at your people, Lord, as they lift up their hands before you. Yeah, I want you to pray in the spirit if you can. That's right. Because you don't know how to pray for this thing that God is going to do. You don't know how to pray. So you need to pray in the spirit.
Behold,
saith the Lord, it shall be by my spirit, not by might, neither yet by power. But the words that the Lord thy God have spoken, they shall come to pass, and that swiftly. Hallelujah. There shall be no more delay, because the Lord will give you time to enjoy it. Even this year, in Jesus' name. It will give you time to praise the Lord and to give the beauty of holiness. You're not going to have to wait till the end of the year. And even if you had to, you keep believing, but the Lord will make a quick short walk. He will do a quantum leap experience for you. When you least expect it, but be expecting. When you are not even thinking, you know, the Lord will just, he can show up suddenly. But the Lord said, when he does show up, will he still find faith? Will you still be at the point of faith believing when he finally shows up? And you never know. It could be tonight. It could be in a twinkling, in a moment, and a twinkling of an eye. The Lord will show up in your situation. I'm not talking about the rapture now. Well, that will happen too in the same way. But I'm talking about that situation that has lingered for so long. Hallelujah. Suddenly, glory to God. That's another word for you. Suddenly. The Bible says suddenly. There was cloving tongues of fire, rushing mighty wind. They waited and waited and waited and waited. 10 days they waited. And then all of a sudden, suddenly, glory to God. Lord, we love you. Do you love him? If you love him, just wave your hands to him. Praise him, you may come on up. We love you, Lord. And we just give you the praise. We give you the glory. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful year. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be an amazing year. I declare and decree it in Jesus' name. You'll be laughing in and out of church. Hallelujah. Your life and your mouth will be filled with testimony. You'll be able to say, it filled my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's going to fill your mouth with laughter this year. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.